Welcome to Comedy Potpourri. This is our fourth installment on aliens, UFOs, encounters. And I'm Paul.
And I'm Alan.
And here we go into the rabbit hole.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So, abductions.
Oh.
With probes. And they do different things. They have sexual encounters.
Oh, they most definitely do. They like to leave star maps.
Star maps.
I don't understand. Like, we're ever going to get there, but okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know.
They do surgery.
That is true.
They've actually done invasive surgery. They've also gone in and actually, believe it or not, they've fixed people up. So, yeah. The probes they have, I hate calling them probes. They're more like a, what would you call them, Alan?
Probe sounds like you're poking somebody
right
all the time, right?
So we call them trackers.
Oh yeah, like a tag.
Yeah, like a tag. Yeah. Like a little tag, like you'd put into like your pet.
A chip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is probably where they're pets. So.
Great. Nobody's
nice, Alan. Nice, Alan.
Nobody's petting me behind the ears. I can't purr for you. That'd be cool if I could, but no.
So they have all these different ones, and they put them in different places. They can be up into your nose cavity, because they've actually had, they've taken them out of there, and they find scar tissue.
I've actually heard a tale of a person with a nasal probe of some kind, a tag, that the lady literally sneezed it literally right out of her nasal cavity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what that looked like. Like, probably a big old bug.
Yeah.
That's what I would call it.
Well, they had, they've taken them out of people's knees, ankles, hands.
Yeah. Yeah,
and basically, we were talking about this already. They probably run on our own electrical system.
So the human body is a bioelectric machine, you know, biologically in nature, and it produces its own electrical energy. I mean, that's what pumps the heart and keeps telling the heart, "Hey, you need to keep pumping, or we're not around anymore."
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. So, so much for the tags, because, well, they're different sizes. We've talked about this before in the first one. They have different sizes and different shapes, and it depends who abducts you.
Again, it kind of goes right along with, like, the way every ship or vehicle that has come into our airspace, and I'm not just talking the United States, I'm talking about worldwide. All the ships are vastly different. They're shapes and sizes, but they're probably ran by several different intelligences of different makes and whatever. Why not the probes?
Right.
Or tags? I would probably be a similar situation. They're all going to be different and have different capabilities.
So in order to do this, we need to talk about the different abductions. Mm-hmm. There are different abductions or different encounters. Let's say encounters. So, you know, we always heard about the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, da-da-da-da, you know, all that. That was the movie. But there's from one, I think we talked 1 to 5.
Yeah, there's 1 to 5. Now, it should be mentioned that the way the scale was initially designed was by Dr. J. Allen Hynek. He was the guy who was behind the guy who was working with Project Blue Book for about 15 years, I believe, before he... And Blue Book was disabled by the U.S. Air Force back in 1969. And then J. Allen Hynek had a change of heart because he couldn't keep lying to the general populace about what he had been doing for the U.S. Air Force. There were several still unaccounted UFO sightings at that time, now UAP for Unidentified Anomalous Objects, which covers both in water and otherwise. And he developed a series of different stages of encounters with visitors from outside. And the first, you know, the first one he comes up with, the first encounter, is basically a visual sighting of a unidentified flying object or a submerged object that's less than 500 feet away from you, or 150 meters, that is shown in an appreciable angular extension and it can be seen in considerable detail. The second one.
That's like going to the nudist camp.
That's unidentified. You're flying by the crack of the moon. Yes. Okay, so now continuing on. Sorry. A UFO event in which a physical effect is alleged. This can be an interference to functioning cars and vehicles, of electronics and so on like that.
Like computers turning off all of a sudden.
Yeah, that one was kind of creepy. It's like, Paul, I think they're here. Yes. Animals react to a physiological effect such as paralysis or heat or discomfort. And in the witness, or some sort of physical trace and impression can be left in the ground, scorched or otherwise, and affected vegetation from or leaves a chemical trace.
Crop circles.
Correct. Now that is an interesting topic all on its own, because a lot of people wonder if is it communication? And from what I've come across is like, yes, it is. But it doesn't take place mainly in Great Britain. There are other places around the world.
Midwest, they've had a lot in the Midwest.
Canada has a number of different crop circles that are right in that Midwest area. I believe it's not under Saskatchewan or something like that.
Yeah. Edmonton, all that over there. Yeah.
Quebec. Okay, so. But there's a number of crop circles that take place there. But the vast complexity of most of them usually takes place in England, right around Stonehenge and a couple of other, Glastonbury Hill, I think.
Because I was looking at some more, and they had, France is having more.
But a lot of these crop circles also has some highly interesting properties about them, because even after the crop itself has been harvested, there's always a ghost circle that's left behind. And the vast volume of material that is harvested is greater than the surroundings of said crop circle.
Right. And then they do find the burnt areas, like something's landed.
There are some of those. In a lot of cases, and I've seen some camera work of these crop circles actually being created by orbs.
I have. Yeah, I've seen those, too.
That circle around, and then suddenly the thing just pops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, what the f*** is up with that? That's just nuts. Anyway, so there's your crop circle thing.
So the next one is?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Now, I always remember the movie when they were advertising it. Yeah, and you're shooting down that road out in the main desert, and you're seeing this light that's coming up behind the two hills, and then suddenly John Williams' music just boom, comes up, and it's a really good movie because Spielberg goes to the sources of both Jacques Vallée and J. Allen Hynek, even the terminology for the movie's title, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. UFO encounters, which is an animated entity, is present. These include humanoids, robots, and humans who seem to be occupants or pilots of said UFO.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, the third kind is definitely it doesn't. Yeah, you're having this visitation by an entity of some kind that has it like a. You know, Whitley Strieber talked about in his book Communion, stuff like that, being abducted by a bunch of aliens in New York State and him being taken aboard and being experimented upon. Well, that's more than a close encounter of a third kind, as far as I'm concerned, pal. And actually, J. Allen Hynek's, with his passing, the scale had been opted to 5 encounter types by Jacques Vallée, who is a French researcher of some renown. And so he believes that it goes further on, and the human is actually abducted which is what our topic that we're talking about today. And then there's another one, an encounter of a fifth kind, which the abductee receives some sort of receives some sort of physical effect from their encounter, is typically is injured or is healing. And this is where the tags usually come into play.
Right, right.
And I don't want to go any farther in that because it's a lengthy description of what his right. scale is here, but that's what I have been able to find.
Well, I got to tell you, okay, if I get abducted and get the full treatment, dudes,
the full treatment.
I just got to tell you, I have a prostrate that needs fixing. So just, I don't care if you probe, just fix it.
You get on up there. Can you fix it for me? Come on, man. but
my wife would love it.
There's a lot of methane. Can you burn it off, please? Just saying. But I mean, why would you tag somebody?
Oh, it's
no, you know.
One is the one of the things that they said is that it creates, they can actually monitor where you're at and your body. So basically it does the whole thing. They know where you're at. Hey, you know, hey, Alan's down here at the bar.
Well, that's not much of a stretch. You don't always know that anyway. If they came in and if some alien came into my room and was like wanting to know something, and you better be nice when you crawl up on my bed and give me a kiss first before you start doing something, dude.
You know it's going to be a Draco. And not the one from Harry Potter.
No. I don't care how soft you talk to me in the parcel tongue. Draconis. Draconis interruptus. Ah, bastard. You gotta, it's like, you know, Captain Kirk in that tight grip with the gore, and he's like, yeah, come here, I just want to give you a little nibble. Oh, I love that movie. I love that deep show. But I think there's an interesting thing about, because these taggings that are taking place by said revisiting entities that are coming in, or intelligence, they're tracking you.
Yes.
And I mean, we do it to ourselves. I mean, I have a younger brother who is part of a scientific group that tracks him from childhood, which started many, 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 many years ago, and has been tracking his events of his life, whom he's married to, and what children he's had from whatever marriages he's been involved in, and has been tracking him through his adult life. And I'm sure it will continue on until he's no longer with us.
Right, right.
I hope he outlives me, because that'd be nice. But they've been doing the same thing with him as these entities are doing to other people.
Oh, really?
And they're tracking, and it seems not only to be just scaled to one individual. In some cases, it's actually families, and they're following a lineage through the woman's side of the family in most cases, from what I've been able to tell. And so they'll track it, and it's just like, so like a grandmother may have had a visitation when she was younger and stuff like that, then it crosses over to her daughter or son or something like that in some cases. And so it follows genealogy.
What makes, I would think that makes sense, because if you find a subject that you really think that has something that you want to look at and see what happens during all the generations,
there's a potential of something there. We can't determine what it is, but apparently it has been flagged by this intelligence and is tracking it to see what we can do with it, I guess, if I were to put myself in that headspace.
And by the way, one of the things I've read through the whole thing on almost all the different alien species is that we are the ones that live the shortest lives, humans. All these other ones live to be very, very old.
Yeah, they do. Probably wanted to experiment upon said populace. They want to know what mutations are taking place or what evolutionary steps we're taking as a species. Maybe mankind has made this giant jump. When we did set up the first nuclear bomb, that got somebody's attention more so than anything else. I think if we hadn't set off the bomb, we may not have as many abductions or taking place or something like that. And who knows? I mean, I've heard all kinds of crazy ass theories. It's like some of the Greys are actually humans from the future.
Well, one of the things I heard that with Eisenhower, because Valiant Thor, basically was from the future or something like that, and sat down and told him what we need to do to survive and stuff. But there's also one, or I heard, where they made a pact. Truman made a pact with aliens that they could go ahead and abduct humans as long as we got technology from them. And what I understand in Area 54, Dulce, it has been taken to an extreme where they actually have mutations that they are making. And there's actually humans. It's a 7-layer thing. Humans are in the second one and stuff. And this all started when we were digging and starting this base, that we came in touch with the Draconians, the Dracos, and there was a big war. There's like 66 special forces that were killed fighting these lizard people. And then they end up having a truce and all this other stuff. So abductees, there's some that they actually are shown the ship. And they're walked around and shown everything. There's one about a child who was like 6 or 7. Part of inductee, his family was, and he heard screaming because this other couple, there's two couples, his family and another couple had been abducted. And he says when he was walking, he could hear screaming coming from one room. It was not his mother. And the other man, they were fighting, right? They were trying to like get out. And then these two aliens came up, and a regular man was behind him in a black suit and could talk to the aliens and could talk to the kid, and said that basically he was there to observe what's going on.
I'm here to help you out. I'm just here to observe.
I'm just here to observe. Yeah. Well, doesn't that sound like something the government would do?
Well, I've heard some interesting stories that there's actually breaks based upon nationality. Okay, so get this. You may have a lot of people who are being abducted and tagged here in the States, right?
Mm-hmm.
But out of the United States, there are some other people who have been experimented upon and actually have died because of their interaction with an outside intelligence. That Kolaris Island I was telling you about, that's mm-hmm. down in South America, just outside of, just on the coast of Brazil. Whole township back in 77, 78 had been terrorized by a bunch of lights. Ships coming down with their beams of light, making people sick, nauseated, throwing up, diarrhea, all kinds of just foul stuff. And it wasn't because of the bad fish they were eating or anything like that, because it was just a fishing village. And these people started going to this doctor to try to figure out what she was. And she was doing what she could. I forget the name of the doctor's name. But she had been making, collecting all this data, and finally got a hold of the officials saying, hey, look, I've got a serious problem over here on this island, and I need some serious help. Can you send some help? And first, of course, just like the United States, the official word was, well, we're just going to blow it over and not make any mention of it. But as it turns out, they send officials, both military and military intelligence from them, as well as police, to make documentations of all this stuff. And they, and the first day they were there, they got terrorized by a bunch of lights coming down and beams coming down. And there were a couple people who, because of their exposure to these intense beams of light, not only got sick, but had cancer, and they had to send two women off who died because of these interactions with these lights in the sky. So there's been some speculation that some of these ships that have come in contact with not necessarily abductees per se, that they get affected by radiation and suffer intense heating, burning of the eyes, skin lesions that maybe eventually go away. Some people have bad paralysis because of their interaction. I mean, some of the guys from Rendlesham had to go in for heart surgery because of their interaction, because they physically touched a ship.
Mm-hmm.
There have been other people who have ended up touching these ETs in some case.
And they get shocked or burnt.
Oh, one guy got sick and he actually died because he wasn't touching this alien with rubber gloves to protect himself from whatever kind.
Wow.
So, yeah, ETs, don't phone home. Sometimes they phone you. And and they don't, and you don't leave at all.
Yeah, they're not, I think that's the other reason why maybe that the some governments don't put it, you know, let all the information out because of
just that particular topic. I think
right
that some people need to, they want people to be aware that they're, that we are being visited numerous times by several different species, but nobody in government wants to tip their hat saying, yeah, we can't help you, we can't control it. It's like, yeah, but the thing is, don't dissuade your general populace. If you want to show as a governing body that you're doing something, maybe you should investigate it, not just blow it under the table like you've been doing it for like the last 70 odd years or whatever.
Oh, probably more than that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. This is so interesting. And then, because we've talked about just the countries where they just say it's okay and some that don't. And then the, oh God, it's just the government's agencies. It's scary because we don't know what's out there. And I'm sure there's a lot more than is let on.
Oh yeah.
So, and so I got to come up. Okay. This is our commercial time, and it's brought to you by Galactus Videos. 5X. Yes, 5X movie. It has Draconians. It has lizards, greys, the tall Nordics. It has humans and everything. Everything that you can believe of in one movie. It's XXXX. Yes, and you should see it now. There's Parcel Tongue with Lizard Tongue. There it is. The Greys with their long fingers. Oh! There's Probing. There's other things that you just are out of this world. Get it now.
Oh, what a pitch for a movie. I love it. X, 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 X. You want a free for all? This is the movie for you.
Close Encounters.
Gene splicing at its best.
Gene splicing.
Gene.
Close Simmons Encounters splicing. Of the Sixth Kind.
Oh my God. Splice this.
Okay, we're back.
Okay.
One of the things that also in the book where there's more stuff about the book about the abductions or the...
there are definitely some stuff about that for sure, and it also cuts into the literally cuts into the cattle mutilation thing as well.
Oh, so we're talking about cattle mutilation. That's going to be That's a scary thing. Okay, if you've ever seen Skinwalker Ranch, on one of the episodes, they actually had a one of the cows fall down, and it's the other cow separated it them from that cow, and they actually said that they had an orb or something above it, and this cow fell down and just died.
One of the episodes I'd seen that they were streaming on YouTube is that they had got a massive microwave spike, and this calf just started spinning around in circles, didn't know what the hell was going on. Other cows started running away from
it.
Yeah,
that's the same
one,
yeah.
Okay, the cow didn't just die. It didn't die, but it was disoriented, and they took a look at it, and its eye had a massive cataract over the top of it because it just went blind. And it had been exposed to some microwave radiation, according to the vet that actually examined it. Now, the calf probably is already gone. It can't do anything. I mean, it might be able to be, I don't know if you'd want to eat it or not, but yeah, why? Now, I will save this part for the mutilation reason why they go after cattle. Because I've heard some interesting talk about from other researchers that have delved into that particular thing, and I was part of that actually in Northern California. But we're gonna go back to the probes.
Okay.
We're gonna go back to the probes, yeah. Yeah. I said, hey, Moses, yeah. What's about the probe? No, but the thing about because is our lifespan so short that they're experimenting on us like we do on fruit flies?
Yeah.
That, I mean, think about it, because that's exactly what it sounds like to me is like, if we have such short lives to these long lived intelligence out there. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. You're going to tag it and you're going to see how fast it multiplies, whether or not this is a dead end or this one has developed this particular kind of mutation or something like that. Or, oh, look, it can kind of think.
Yeah. Well, I hate to bring this up because people are going to like, oh no, we don't do that. We do. This is what they do. They do this to monkeys, apes and monkeys. Mostly monkeys, chimpanzees.
Chimps.
And what they do is they'll tag them. And then what they do is they'll monitor their heart, whatever. And then they also do other tests with them. And during the life cycle, and their life cycle is only like 20 years, something like that.
I think the oldest living chimp, if it's in captivity, I think it made it to like 34 years old or something
like
that.
Right.
And I think the same is true for gorillas and the great apes in the primates. Human beings are the only ones that manage to live much longer than that. We go through this massive growth spurt, which is crazy, you know, because we all come out and we're like all these tiny little baby weakling things, you know, cry, stick a tit on it, whatever. Well, and then suddenly you get to the point of like, okay, you've been here for about 10 years as a kid, as you're slowly growing. And then suddenly there's this huge amount of hormones that floods your system, and you suddenly,
I become a man,
or I become a woman, or something along those lines. Why is that? Why do we have this gigantic growth spurt? Animals don't have that. Does any animal in the natural kingdom have that go on?
I do not know. I cannot answer that question.
The only other animal that that goes through any kind of a metamorphosis is a butterfly.
Yeah, butterfly.
I mean, and that's one of those crazy things. It's like, why is there this sudden expansion of physicality, of muscle growth? What, you know, is there something we're being bred for? I don't know.
The Anunnaki. We're gonna come and they're gonna have to work on the. In the
gold mine,
yeah,
going to work
mine.
In the gold mine. Anunnaki, got to go gold mine. that was one of those crazy stories that Van Daniken was talking about, ancient astronauts and so on like that. And that ancient astronaut theory, I hear that word so much. I just want to hit the narrator and slap him and say, stop using that word.
ancient astronaut Sarahs say yes. It's like, you're gonna say yes because you've got people that are trying to listen to your show.
Oh, God. Give me some real stuff for a change instead of just like dangling the carrot out in front of me, man. I'm tired of that shit.
Well, that's because that people come back. You know, that's right. Just it. So
I'll dangle a probe in front of you. But I think the idea that if there are species that were here to help mankind into another state of evolution as a species, if we're on that precipice, as I've been heard or been told, then why not just let's move forward? Is it a slow process that you're trying to make it so it's not as painful? Pain causes you to adapt. I think that has to happen.
Well, that was one of the things about evolution. That's they said if a species is under duress or stress for a long time, that it adapts to that situation.
And I think we're pretty close to that as is. I mean, with the general populace the way it is right now, with 9 billion plus, I think that's where we're at right now.
9 billion?
Thank you, Carl. Billions and billions of stars. I think that we're on that precipice, and now we're just waiting to see what's going to happen.
Well, supposedly, just to let you know, is that 2026, the humans are supposed to go through a transformation.
Okay, where did you get your information about 26 here?
I was on, God, I can't remember, it was on one of the alien things.
Oh.
And also spiritually.
Oh, so Gaia came out and said something.
Gaia, yes. Yeah. By the way, I had my tarot read.
Did you really?
Yeah. And Gaia's in my, part of my tarot reading. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I have a tarot cards. I just haven't busted them out in a long time.
So, but anyway, I don't want to get to that because it was a really long session. It was like an hour. It was really good. It kind of grounded me, I get to say that.
Okay.
But I just think with aliens and what's happening now is that maybe with this book coming out and more information coming out, is that maybe 2026 is when it's going to happen, saying, okay, this is it. They're here. This is what we're doing.
Disclosure.
Yeah.
That's the term I've heard being thrown around a lot. I think we will get disclosure of some kind. Will we get the full truth? No, the government's never going to tell you the full truth on anything.
You want the truth?
You can't handle the truth.
Boom, right at you. But I do believe that there will be some sort of disclosure of some kind that we'll talk about it. Now, the question is whether or not the departments of defense, both internal and external, you know, is the FBI going to be able to send out Mulder and Scully and say, well, yeah, you were probed. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're probed. All right.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Here's some tissue.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't. And are you going to think that insurance companies are going to say, well, now we have this extraterrestrial.
Oh, they'd love it.
Extraterrestrial coverage. Oh, man, you got probed.
You got probed.
Yeah.
It's $100 more a month.
Yeah, exactly. Does that fall under that stroke of God or something clause?
That's going to be underneath your medical insurance.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, yeah, we're going to. Yeah. You want that probe taken out? It's going to cost you.
Okay, we just gave the insurance company some ideas.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God. Come on.
Look at that. We could charge for that. Okay. Wow, look at that.
Somebody's going to be making some big money off that stuff. I mean, come on. All right, Big Pharma. You want to go for it? Do it.
Not going to do it. Not prudent.
They're not, but the thing is, whatever the vast volume of different species that are in charge of each one of these tags.
Right.
It's like, what are they going to do? So it's like, well, hey man, you're cutting into my food supply, or hey, we've got this experiment going on to see whether or not this psychic ability is being developed. Hey, I'm just tracking this to see if this mutation is transferred from one adult to another. Hey, you know, that, hey, Federation, don't you guys have a prime directive non-interference? Knock that shit off, man.
So one, on the abductions,
yes.
One of the things they have is loss of time. I think, was it, is it Betty?
Betty and Barney Hill.
It was
one
like
of the
3 hours.
Cases in Maine, I believe, back in 1962. I want to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're traveling home. They were gonna try to make a short run of it. The trip is supposed to only be about 3 hours. They gained about 3 extra hours, so it's like, and they had loss of time. It's like it shouldn't have taken that long to get home, and they couldn't figure out why. But you know, apparently there was a lot of problems with having bad dreams about stuff taking place. There was constantly looking at themselves to see if they were okay because they felt funny. And then there were some weird little spots on the back of their car. Perfectly round, like 7 different spots of something had attached itself to their car. And there were actually photos of these images. Now, Barney seemed to have he was a little more... I don't know if it's just because he's trying to be a dude and trying to man up, saying nothing happened.
Right.
But something obviously did happen to cause him, distress him. Betty was a lot more willing to accept something had happened. She found a dress that she was perfectly pristine, has had some rips in it and so on like that from whatever happened. And she immediately called her sister that said that something had happened, but they didn't know what. And her sister, at her sister's whatever, said, hey, maybe you should check in and talk to the psychologist. And so that's when the psychology stuff of hypnoregression started to come into play. And the guy put them in to both of them separately. And they both came up with the same story of a ship coming down, stopping in front of them, and basically abducting them and asking them all kinds of questions and giving them a medical, of all things. The way I heard about this is when I was a kid, obviously UFOs were a big thing, and I was huge into Star Trek and Space 1999. Great show. And they had the UFO incident, which had James Earl Jones.
Yes.
And he played as Barney Hill. Yeah. I can't remember the actress's name, but they had these guys in these alien suits that were examining them. And it was a very compelling story. It's just like, yeah, something happened to the Hills. Now, why this group decided to single them out, I don't know. But there were some questions because Barney Hill is a black man and his wife, Betty, is white. Right.
Yes.
And so they had asked them the reasoning for the difference in the skin tone. These visitors had no idea what that was all about. They were in uniforms from what I was told. They look kind of like the Greys, but not. So they seemed a little more, you know, examining them all. And they took samples of both sperm and ova from both of them and everything. But I never heard whether or not they were ever visited again.
I don't think they were.
No.
Where a lot of other, there's been people that have up to 3 or 4.
Reoccurring ones. There was the Allagash abductions, which took place, I think, also in the New York area, where you had 4 guys that went around a fishing trip. 2 had visitations before, for whatever reason, but it wasn't until they had the hypnoregression done by
Mac
Fowler.
Oh,
there's
also Dr. Mac.
Yeah, John Mac. Fowler was the one who had actually come across these guys and found that 2 of them had abductions throughout their childhood and into their adult lives. The 2 other people that were along never had anything like that ever happen to them. But I don't know about whether or not anybody was ever had any kind of x-rays done to see if they had any tags on them or anything like that. There's a couple other guys that had, what was the name of the,
they had some very evasive things done to them.
I remember
the two fishermen,
right? That were, and they said, and one of the guys, I remember I was listening to one abduction thing. He says, "Whatever happened, don't get probed by the people in the elongated Tic Tacs."
Oh, Jesus.
I don't have the power mode on.
It doesn't make any sense, especially since it's a desktop. It shouldn't be doing that at
no.
all.
Okay, we're back. Our computer just went down again.
Woohoo!
It says power mode, and which is interesting because as we go back on, it's changed a little bit. So this is twice it's happened. Everything's running smooth. This is not my this computer does not have a power mode shut down. When I'm running something.
This isn't your computer.
This is my computer. Well, I'm starting to think it's not my computer.
I think somebody's got something tapped to it, dude.
So yeah, so this is interesting.
I think your computer's been tagged.
Been tagged. It's been tagged.
It's been tagged.
It's been probed.
Something got slipped into your drive, baby.
Into the hard disk.
Squishy scratch. Skip back.
So all these different
so the hypno-regression stuff, right? So we're talking about the Allagash abduction. So you had that going on. Now, probably the most well-documented abduction from what I've heard was always the Travis Walton incident, like the one that inspired the movie Fire in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And him being gone for 5 days, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And literally about 70 miles away from where he was abducted from. Completely naked and called out for help, and somebody finally came into it. And the fact that the police and FBI had been brought in to find out what happened because they thought the guys on the logging crew killed him. Nope, they passed the polygraph test. So I think that one was kind of questionable, but they had a 25-year or 30-year visitation back to Snowflake in that mountain range.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was really interesting. I watched this about a month and a half ago, just before we started doing any of the
so that I'm listening to an abduction audiobook, and there's one in France where the girl was abducted, and from her room, basically said she was probed and you know, said they kind of did experiments on her. And when she was put down, she said all she saw was these dark hands all over her. And then she was put down onto into a field, not even close by her house. And she walked all that way. And then when she was walking, she said that she could see these footprints in front of her, but nobody was there. And then as she walked towards a house that had a light, this big flash of life took off, and she said she saw the saucer take off. So there's that. And then there's one who's it was in Mexico. I think his name's Alejandro. And he was abducted twice. And that he was basically, they talked to him, and he could speak to him in language. He said, again, I don't think it's really language, how they speak. It's just in your head that you know what they're meaning, you know, that type of thing. So he was dropped off someplace else. And that one was like 3 days. He says he was gone 3 days. There's another one where the guy said he was abducted, gone, went around, around the world, did all this stuff. And that all of a sudden it was like a zip thing they did. It told him he had to buckle in. Zipped in, and then he came back at the same time that he was abducted. They did it like a time thing.
We'll have to get into that a little bit more.
This is part 4 of 5 on UFOs. This is Paul and Alan for Comedy Potpourri. Don't forget, hit that like button. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Bye. Oop. ukulele music brought to you by Lahaina Music, Lahaina, Maui.